Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to another crazy Donald Trump edition of The Absolute Truth, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host with the most, the King of King himself, the man who don't know what bathroom to use anymore. I am the Hot Rod. I don't know what to say anymore.
Yes, if you are a citizen of the United States, it's just crazy. And if you're not a citizen of the United States, then let Sean Black, who's in the building, help you out by getting you away from the ban that may happen or not.
Yes, and I have to be very careful what I talk about on the phone, because Sean Black, my phone could be tapped.
You think
by somebody.
So?
Trust me, I know so.
Uh-oh. I'm not going to go near that one.
So regardless, are you ready to piss some people off?
Oh, yeah.
Sure. So the number to call in to complain or to tap or to tell like it is, that number is 347-989-8402. Are we missing somebody right now?
Yes. Is Anitra B with us?
Nah. You know what she's doing right now. She's trying to become a man right now. But oh well. Let's carry on.
That's the grief.
All right. Sean Black, you have a lot to say about your president. So before we go to the main event topic.
He's not my president, but.
You say that.
He's the president of the United States. So that doesn't make him my president. But I understand where you come from.
You love Donald Trump. You talk about him for over a year now, and you still want to talk about him right now. So before I go to transgender, what do you want to talk about Trump this week for?
I just have to I'm just incredulous a lot of times by a lot of the topics that happen with this show, especially over the last few months. And it's sad that it continues to revolve around Donald Trump, whether it's a transgender issue, whether it's unemployment or anything else that comes up, that seems to always be something happening with Donald Trump. It's not something that I want to talk about, but it's something that has to be talked about because it's been brought up. Last week we talked about the travel ban and some of the other things that came up out of that. This week we got a brand new story out of the mind of Donald Trump. And when we first heard this story, I know the look on our faces is probably along the lines of, this is absolutely crazy. Where is all of this coming from? And the topic that I'm talking about is, as Hot Rod alluded to at the top of the show, a brand new out-of-the-blue accusation that Donald Trump has made against former President Barack Obama, saying that the Obama administration during the campaign, had his phones wiretapped at Trump Tower. Go figure. And,
why he came up with something crazy like that?
Well, considering that there is no substantiated proof coming out of this, one could speculate why it happened. But here's the basis of what happened. All of this went down on Twitter, as everything seems to happen with Donald Trump, on Saturday. And he just went on this rant about how there's a plot against him by being tapped. Basically, he's stating that I'll go by his tweets and what he's saying. Quote, is it illegal for a sitting president to be wiretapping a race for president prior to an election? Turned down by court earlier, a new low. That's the first tweet. Second tweet, I bet a good lawyer could make a great case out of the fact that President Obama was tapping my phones in October, just prior to election. That's the second. Here's the third tweet. How low has President Obama gone to tap my phones during a very sacred election process? This is Nixon Watergate, bad or sick guy. Now, if this is an actual true accusation, and it is proven that the administration wiretapped a potential candidate for the United States presidency, then we have a huge, huge scandal on our hands. But I shudder to think that your President Trump seemingly pulled this one out of his backside, and there is no proof at all that any of this has happened. Mind you,
I'm sure there'll be an investigation going on. I'm sure people will investigate about it and see what the hell is going on, what Trump is talking about.
An investigation with no credibility, seemingly, and no an investigation into claims that have not even been substantiated. Even people from the Republican side are questioning where this is coming from. Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House for the Republicans, basically stated, look, if there's some proof to this, you got to show some proof. You just can't leave that on the doorstep and not open the door and find out who's knocking. You got to come up with some proof and find out what's going on. Now, mind you, this isn't the first time that we know of Donald Trump to pull something out of the air because it either sounded good to him or came to him either in a vision or something along those lines. Maybe somebody told him that this was the case, that he, that there was some intelligence briefing that happened that he was given privy, he was privy to, that he found out. Maybe somebody within his cabinet floated the suggestion to him and he ran with it. Or maybe this is just another one of those examples of Donald Trump just throwing things out there to either make himself look better or to discredit the Obama administration. Whatever the reasoning is, I've got three reasons. I got three examples that this is probably something that just came out of nowhere. If we remember during the election, when he, even though he had won the election, he said that millions and millions of illegals came and voted, and that's the reason why he didn't win the popular vote, even though he won the Electoral College. We all remember that. We remember years prior. We remember the whole birther incident where he questioned President Obama's birthplace, where he's not a citizen. He wasn't born in this country. And all that went on for years and years and years, which he finally had relented to at some point and got off of this topic. Then we all remember the third example is what he said to Ted Cruz, who I have lost all respect for in this sense. If you remember the accusation that Trump made that Ted Cruz's father had something to do with the JFK assassination, which angered Ted Cruz to the point where he wanted to go out and try to attack him and go back and forth with him, which did not work. So this isn't the first time we've heard something like this happen, and I'm pretty sure it won't be the last. It's going to hurt the credibility of the presidency.
But I bet some people do believe this. Some people do believe people believe what Donald Trump says. You know that. We've been through this many times. There will always be some rednecks, some idiots out there that will believe this story because, God forbid, Obama, a black man, don't have any major scandals like any other white person prior to him.
Mm-hmm.
So they try and build, dig up dirt, any dirt. I'm sure Obama did something wrong. As you always stated, Obama wasn't perfect. He made some mistakes. But scandal-wise, have we heard anything about Obama?
No.
Scandal-wise?
And if there was a scandal, any president that has ever had any scandal, you would have heard during their presidency. I don't think there's been, at least while I've been alive, any president that has not had a scandal, have it not happened out in the public at some point during the presidency. And we go from the Iran-Contra scandal that happened under Reagan to what happened with Bill Clinton and the Monica Lewinsky situation, the election scandal that happened with George W. Bush. All of these things that have cropped up in all the times that we've been alive during presidencies, whatever scandal has happened has already come out in the open. Somebody will leak it to the press. Somebody from the press will find something out, and then it will show up. We haven't seen anything like this happen. As a matter of fact, the press secretary, Sean Spicer, who I can't believe has my first name, but it is what it is, actually is called, like we said before, he's calling for an investigative committee to look into this whole deal, thinking that it's a politically motivated investigation. And his quote, President Donald J. Trump is requesting that as part of their investigation into Russian activity, the Congressional Intelligence Committees exercise their oversight authority to determine whether executive branch investigative powers were abused in 2016.
But I have a news flash for you.
Mm-hmm.
Sean, you're not the only Sean in this planet, you know, or in New York, or in this country. There's other Seans out there.
That's not the point.
You're the one and only Sean Black. That knows you are the most annoying friend I ever had, but that's who you are.
Of course.
But other than that, what do you think about Trump press conference, his State of the Union address? I'm assuming that what it was.
It's a State of the Union address that wasn't even that he didn't call a State of the Union address. And we talked about it, I think, the day after the press conference happened. And we talked about the fact that he looked presidential. He actually looked like he was not attacking anyone. He didn't jump down anyone's throat. He didn't point fingers and get angry and yell and scream. So the fact that he was using, as Stephen Colbert said, he did his press conference with an inside voice, which meant that he sounded sane. He sounded
because
like...
Because he was reading from a teleprompter.
Exactly. And when he reads from the teleprompter, he actually sounds contrite. He sounds very calm, very sanguine, no craziness going on, nothing going all off the walls. He's very streamlined, and whoever wrote his speech did a great job, because all of the negativity that happened going in, there was some feel-good moments. And the problem with that is, although he brought out points of what we can do, he didn't bring out any solutions during the press conference.
Well, that's nothing new. They've done that all the time.
Exactly. And I think if you look at the history of Trump and his presidential press conferences, they have usually been combative. He's usually aimed it towards the media. He's usually aimed a lot of his barbs toward Democrats. And anybody that doesn't like him, he's thrown daggers at. And he, for the most part, He didn't sick the dogs on anyone. He stayed within himself. But here's a problem that a lot of people have, and I remember hearing this on a couple of news stations. The wife of
Naval SEAL or a Marine.
Yes, that
she was
killed. On an operation that, if I am not mistaken, I believe President Trump may have signed off on, I think. I'm not sure. They brought his wife out and was there to be amongst the constituency, and he said he had eloquent words to say towards him and the family and the wife, and saying that he was a hero. And it was a good feel. It was a very good moment, because the Democrats and the Republicans and everybody stood up and applauded the wife, who was in a situation where just a month ago she buried her husband. And bringing her there, although it was a feel-good moment, a lot of people think there was a manufactured moment by the Republican Party and by the Trump administration to make him look like the caring, doting, concerned president for somebody within the armed forces. So you can look at that for what you will. But I think you can say somebody was taken advantage of, or you can look at it and say he's acknowledging somebody that was a hero. I don't know, but it just looked off. It was just weird, just looking at it from the outside. And as I continued to look at the rest of this press conference, I also noticed that there were a lot of things that came out there, including, once again, going back into the travel ban, or what he would like to do with the immigrants that he is looking at trying to curb. If you can remember, he came up with his own a task force. I think they're called VOICE, and I think it's Victims of Immigration Crime Enactment, or whatever it is. And it's basically immigrants, people that were victims of illegal immigrants that could pose crimes against them. He's coming up with some sort of task force, which the second he said the acronym for it, everybody in the place, all of the Democrats groaned. It sounded like somebody threw a dirty diaper in the middle of the aisle. It stunk for most of the Democrats.
It's funny that you said immigrants, because earlier today, Ben Carson, who's in charge of housing and all that stuff, said that immigrants, I didn't read it correctly, like immigrants are slavery, or slavery came from immigrants.
He basically alluded to the fact. He was in the middle of a speech, and he was talking about how this country was founded on immigrants. And he stated that even the slaves that were on the bottom of the boats were immigrants trying to come to a new country and a new land where they could be free. And it is one of the most asinine comments I have ever heard anyone say. And anybody that has looked at Ben Carson and has said that this guy seems like he's brain dead, well, he doesn't do a whole lot to disprove that comment, because any time he opens his mouth, things like that come out.
Well, technically speaking, we are immigrants, right?
That is true.
Even though we are slaves, and we still are slaves, no matter what race you are, we all are immigrants to a certain degree. So what's the big deal?
The difference is, and by definition, an immigrant immigrates to another country on their own volition. Slaves had no say in the matter, so they are not immigrants by choice. They were used as meat. They were used as cheap labor. They were used to impregnate people to breed bigger, stronger workers in a lot of instances. That's what the slaves were brought over to the United States for. It had nothing to do with immigration. They weren't there to leave where they came from. So the fact that Ben Carson would even say something like that shows how ignorant he is when it comes to these kinds of things. And the Trump administration continues to have these kinds of people in high-ranking areas, which makes you question what the agenda is from the Trump administration.
Well, what? Listen, okay? Calm down.
Oh, I'm calm.
You know.
Very calm.
You sound like a slave yourself, I see. Wow. Okay.
Oh, no, far from it.
Ben Carson was just trying to make a point, and I could see his point to a certain degree. You know, we are slaves and we are immigrants. We're the same thing. So
it's definitely not the same thing.
After 200 years, we're still immigrants, we're still slaves.
As I stated before, if you're an immigrant, you're an immigrant by choice most of the time. People that are leaving from Russia to get away from the Russian regime, or the Italians that immigrated from Italy, from Sicily, to get away from their oppressive life to come to the United States to make a name for themselves, or people from...
Well, Sean, you could leave now. You could leave now and go back to your homeland if you want to.
The last I checked, my homeland is the United States. I wasn't born in any other country.
Go to PBS. Challenge Station PBS, go to their Ancestor show and go check out your roots, okay?
Oh,
you're from somewhere.
I'll check my roots, but the last I checked, my mother had birthed me here. So that's where my homeland is. you know. Now, if there are any past places that are in my culture, in my DNA from where I'm from, that's a different story. But the last I checked, I was born here.
Okay, so before I go on to the next subject, K-Dog, who's another immigrant himself, who's also a slave, I'm sure K-Dog has something to say how much he loves Trump. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, everybody? You know, this comedy show called The Trump Administration is drawing more and more attention day by day because of a bunch of village idiots. Now, take, for instance, this guy, Ben Carson, the biggest house Negro ever. For him to stand there and say that the slaves were immigrants, now what do you call people who were dragged away from their homes, kidnapped from their villages, robbed of their language, robbed of their culture, and brought to this country against their will to be manual labor? What the hell was he thinking? I mean, this guy is, you gotta wonder. Is his brain, I don't know where his brain is. What, does it go between his butt or something? I mean, really, no one could, you know, that is very ignorant to stand there and say something like that about slavery.
Are you surprised from that statement from Ben Carson?
No, I'm not surprised because, listen, Ben Carson, he's an idiot. Look at the Trump, let's take a good look at the Trump administration, the people he has in his cabinet. He has a bunch of non-politicians, people who don't know anything, and yet he put them in his cabinet. And, of course, the Republican Congress and the House of Representatives voted those people in. That's what's wrong with this. Yeah.
All right. Okay, see why you guys are a little bit upset about Trump. I don't know why. He is the man. He's doing his job right now.
Hey, man, listen, I can't even picture myself calling this fool a president. What a joke.
Well, job is, he's doing it all right, and it seems like he's trying to unhinge the country one screw at a time.
Oh, yes, it is. And you know what? Listen, this is what America gets. This is what we got. And this is what America wanted.
Okay.
And now everyone's getting upset. Everyone's screaming, and oh, my goodness. I'm like, well, you guys elected him, didn't you?
Yeah. I guess for the next 4 years, the show will have something to talk about almost every week about this.
I hope we don't talk about this person every week.
That's why next year people got to get out there and vote. Don't just sit your butt home and not vote. Get out there and vote, because next year is another important election. Very important.
Okay. Last week on the show, we talked about transgenders and the bathroom. Of course, for like the 10th time. But we got a little bit heated last week. And Milton has brought up a good point, I believe, and brought up a good question that made me thought about and ask other people. Shout out to my person in New Jersey. She's listening to our show right now. And I even talked about the subject to her earlier about this. Is transgender a mental illness? Earlier today in Brooklyn, New York, ladies and gentlemen, there was a rally outside at the Barclays Center that K-Dog and I wanted to attend, but we couldn't due to other priorities. It was a rally for transgenders. Already this year, and we're in March right now, 7 transgenders has been killed already. I just talked to my other friend. She was there. The rally was small, but she was proud to be part of it. And I wish I was there, too, to interview people, because I'm not going to lie. Transgender is something, is your choice. You want to do that. Be my guest. It's your life. I don't understand it. I try to understand it. I did some research about it. And I mean, I like to keep my mind open to things because, you know, once again, Sean Black is different, K-Dog is different, I'm different. But society, we don't think the same way we do. Most of society is think one way because most people are brainwashed. So I will start with you, Sean Black, before
All
I
right.
answer Mike, before I answer this question. From your research, from your opinion, everybody's entitled to their own opinion, but this is what the show is about. Do you believe what Milton X said last week? Do you think transgender is a mental illness or a disorder or some type of form?
I don't think it is a mental illness. And the reason why I say that is a long time ago, people thought that homosexuality was a mental illness. And that long, long time ago, that was looked at as being a stigmatism towards anything or a stigma to anybody. For anything to be considered a mental illness, it has to be something that harms the person as well as others. The official definition is a condition designated when the very fact that you have it causes distress and dysfunction. If you think about how we look at what is quote-unquote normal, a heterosexual person, they go on dates, they talk to each other, they do things that you would see a male and a female that interact with each other do, that would be considered in the eyes of quote-unquote most people, quote-unquote normal. When you hear about homosexual activity, it's pretty much the same as heterosexual activity. It's just that a male and a male, female and a female. And that is, over the years, have been somewhat defined and has gotten much more tolerance to a lot of the issues that happen, because there are some idiots out there in heterosexual relationships the same way that there are some idiots out there in homosexual relationships. People can be completely idiotic to each other. But just also remember, a long time ago, back in the 50s and the 60s, hysteria was considered a mental illness, as classified as women who were overly sexual and had these sexual deviations. And at one point, they were being told that they were mentally disabled and mentally challenged because of their over-sexuality. And hysteria is looking at how crazy that was supposedly. It was up until 1980 that it was considered an affliction. And we've gone from that to sexual and gender identity disorders to psychosexual disorders all the way up to 1994. Now, the World Health Organization actually has these rules that they put in a rule book based on the definitions of certain disorders. And they revise them every so often because as time goes along, things change. We get more research. As you stated before, you know, you may think a certain way, I may think a certain way, others may have their own opinion. But the difference is with research and with time, you can determine certain things are not as black and white as we think they are. There are a lot of factors involved. So I think with that being stated, with the 1.4 million Americans that are considered transgender, 80% of participants that are transgender women who identify themselves as female but were born male, it goes to show you that a lot of things happen over time. So for me to think that it's a mental illness, no male or female wants to go through the hell that is associated with identifying it if they knew that they were going to be bombarded with all of the bigotry and all of the violence that is associated with coming out to being that way.
Oh, okay. So my next question to you, Sean Black, when are you going to confess to me that you really is a woman inside and you're trying to come out?
Well, you're going to be waiting a long time because that will not happen. I can honestly tell you that.
Go ahead, K-Dawg. What do you think?
Go ahead.
Because last week, K-Dawg, you was questioning it yourself, and it seemed like you have your doubts about it.
Well, here's what – what I have to say about it is this, is that I read up on it, and so far what I came up with is that there are people who have gender dysphoria, or it's called a gender identity disorder. You know, they say like the person experiences as a result of the sex and gender that they assigned at birth. You know, but they said it's not a mental disorder. That's what I came up with. And I was shocked to find it. I was like, wow, you know, people do live that life, that, you know, they feel like, I don't know, because they were born a man and they later on consider themselves a woman. But where I was confused was like, wow, how could you consider, how do you know that you're a woman when you've never experienced what a woman has experienced? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what I could say is this, is that everybody, and let me just say this in all fairness, everybody is different. Everybody was born different. Whether, you know, you're heterosexual or you're homosexual, everybody was born different. You know, but however, with the whole thing with transgender, I found out that it's definitely not a mental disorder. It's just the way people are born.
Well, I think that's a key thing I'm aiming at, because like I was doing my research, I was getting a mixed reaction, and I personally have a mixed reaction myself, not to attack the transgender, not
me
to
neither.
Say is the wrong thing. So before anyone attack me, and well, feel free to attack me because I really don't care. It does that. If you're born a male and you want to become a female, do the, what's his name, Caitlyn Jenner or Bruce Jenner, whatever his name or her name is.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to become a woman for whatever reason, I think, I may not understand that, but I could accept that. But for a young child, 10, 15, come up to me, Uncle Rodney, I want to become a guy, I don't want to become a girl. I'm like, well, hold on, time out.
Yeah, that's where my confusion lies, because,
you know,
like,
I'm like,
I
hold
said
on.
Before. Yeah.
Where did that come from? And, you know, I'm not calling that mental illness, even though the papers, some doctors have said it is, because it comes from home. Lack of self-esteem, or they're going to a mental breakdown, but they don't like the way they look. They probably think they're better. There's different reasons. And I believe everybody have a different reason why they become transgender. Gay people I have interviewed told me, gay people, they don't understand transgender to a certain degree. If you're born
exactly.
a man, you're a man. If you're born a woman, you're born a woman. A sex change cannot change you into the other part completely, not 100%. You could cut off your penis, you could cut off your breast, but inside your organs, you're still
yeah.
the way you were born, you know. So the Caitlyn Jenner, I don't care about, you know what, that's his business. If he felt like he was a woman for the last 40, 50, 60 years of his life, that's his business. It's more of the kids, like, wait a minute. Part of that, I think, is peer pressure or some lack of home education. As Max will say it, he will call them broken homes. I don't want to say that completely, because I don't want to say the wrong thing if I don't know the topic itself completely, if you guys understand what I mean. I'm going to be like saying this, saying that. I'm trying to understand it more. I accept it. You know, I won't downgrade anybody. But once again, if God gave me this body, yes, I don't like the way I look, but only I could change it. But still, I'm still the hot rod, no matter how many times I change my body. This is what I was born with. If my son come up to me, I want to become a girl. I'm like, well, hold on. Time out. Go talk to Uncle Sean. He know more about this than me.
Uh-oh. Oh, man.
You know.
But
so,
you want to know something? You brought up a good point in what you just stated. And in a lot of instances, with a lot of people in this, especially in this country, you said the body that God gave me. There are a lot of people that don't agree with that statement, because they
exactly.
feel if they aren't religious, they feel that they don't necessarily have that same thought process that you may have or others may have, where it's the vessel that I was born with was given to me by God. It's more or less, this is what I was born with scientifically and genetically. I feel a certain way. I have the male characteristics, I want to be a female. I have the female characteristics, and I'm a male. And I feel that male way. That you hear a lot of people, a lot of females that grow up and say, well, I was a tomboy. I did all of the stuff that God, that my brothers did. I like to climb trees, and I like to wrestle pigs, and I like to go out and work on cars. And
but that doesn't
I'm
make
sure.
you become a man. That
oh,
doesn't mean
me,
you
guys,
have to become a man.
But you guys just proved a good point there. And that is true because, listen, Rodney, like Hot Rod, you talked about earlier when a child is young, how do they know? Because you know what? There are some people, like, especially when it's a little girl, and I'm glad you brought that up about tomboys. There are some girls who are tomboys who are so attractive, who are like a man. They're very hard. They play rough like boys. And you know what's even more? Some of them dress up like, they grow up dressing up like boys.
And it's something that they identify with as they're growing
exactly.
up.
Exactly. They would rather cut their hair short. They would wear more jeans and sneakers like a boy. They would wear suits like a boy. Some girls, and you know, they wouldn't even wear a skirt. They don't even believe in getting glammed up like a typical girl. They play with boys' toy, if you understand what I'm saying. They're playing football. They're playing basketball. I'm not saying that women don't play that, but, you know, you get my point.
They want to run with the boys.
Yeah.
Kato, my best friend from Jersey who's listening to the show right now, she's a town boy. I know her for, like, over 15 years. We drank together. She smoked. She played for sports. She kick ass,
yeah.
you know. But
yeah,
she married to a lovely husband. She's a woman. Just because she's a tomboy doesn't make her
I'm not saying that, but you know, some girls, I didn't say all girls, but some who, you know, who are tomboys.
Don't think that that's as simple of an answer to come up with as far as thinking that just because there was tomboy behavior. There was a survey that was done, like a study. Done by in a journal called the Lancet Psychiatry, and they interviewed 250 transgender people, and found that the majority of them had reported social rejection related to their gender identity as being a victim of violence. And in that whole entire survey, the participants that were reported became aware. I want you to think about this. They remember becoming aware that they were transgender at the median average age of 5 years old. So as young as 5 years old, their brains chemically identified with the opposite sex, that they were in the wrong, they felt that they were in the wrong body. More than three-quarters of the participants, which is 76%, experienced social rejection related to their feelings about gender, most commonly by family members. Two-thirds of that group said that they had been a victim of violence related to their gender. And in a different study in 2012, it found that 57% of transgender youth who did not have supportive parents attempted to commit suicide within the past year, while just 4% of transgender youth with very supportive parents did. So, you have.
Oh, wait a minute. I think we read the same article. I'm
maybe.
Reading at it right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, because I was reading, as a matter of fact, I was reading something, and not to interrupt, but I was reading something else in Wikipedia, and they say, like, you know, awareness of who they are, of who a child is, you know, what sex a child is, whether they're male or female. And it says here that John Money suggested children might have awareness of and attach some significance to gender as early as 18 months to 2 years. But Lawrence Kohlberg argues that gender identity does not form until age 3. You know,
okay.
it starts off young.
Now, Hot Rod, I also want you to think about one thing. Think of all the times that you've seen parents with their children, and they tell their children because of male and female as their babies or as they get to becoming toddlers. They like to play. You see a girl play with the male dolls, like, you know, like wrestling figures or like G.I. Joe figures or whatever. And what do they usually tell you? You usually see them, no, you don't play with that. You play with the Barbie doll. Or if you see the boy play with the Barbie doll, you would just, a lot of times hear the parents say, no, you don't play with that. Pick up the Voltron.
Well, okay, you guys know I have a boy and a girl, right?
Yeah.
No, you don't have a boy and girl. And I see them play with each other toys, and I told the mother, it's fine by me. Let them play. The toys are just toys. I don't care, you know. But I don't want my son to wear pink because I hate pink with a passion. That's my personal choice. Any other color, I don't care. Pink, hell no, because I'm not saying it's a boy thing, a girl thing. I just hate the color pink with a passion. But we got Max on the line now. Max, he's a half woman, half man. Take it away.
This is why your vision is so blurred and all destroyed. So I don't care about your vision. Good evening, guys. I was just watching a little bit of
Raw.
So forgive me with all the interruptions. So I'm lowering the volume down. So you guys are talking about the homosexuality and transgender issues.
Okay.
Now, we're just talking about transgender issue, bro. So what's going on?
Oh, I wasn't sure because I remember from the last time I listened to the show, something was mentioned about that.
Milton X brought up last week when we talk about transgender that he said that is a mental illness. That was caught my attention, and I'm like, you know what? That's a topic we should talk about today because apparently transgender is a big thing now. We knew transgender for a very long time, but now it's been blowing up to a different level. So do you think, Max?
The trend.
Yes. So do you think it's a mental illness or is just something being blown out of proportion?
It's more like it's blown out of proportion with a mental illness as far as, like, they said that certain areas that, you know, like certain doctors have used that just to cover up their ancestry. That's why certain doctors, black African doctors, are mentioning the fact that white Europeans, using that to cover up their ancestry as far as like slavery and certain other things as far as the Greeks. There's like a certain appetite. There's a lot of theories, and I'm like, oh, gosh, not this again. Back in the 90s, I remember I text you and some other individual as far as my time at that certain area where I was at a health clinic, and I had dealt with all types, including the transgenders. And this is the mid-90s when it was exploding. And certain things, they had a therapy session on a certain floor, and they had a lot of psychiatry therapy regarding transgender and as far as, like, making the transition. And they had brought in straight people mixed up with homosexuals and transgenders. At that time in the 90s, the gay community didn't even want to accept the transgenders. They felt they were a threat. They didn't like them. They were divided.
See, like, that's what I said.
You know,
They evolved in the late 90s. They evolved in the late 90s because they felt like, you know what, we have an agenda. We have to form. I was actually witnessing when they all formed together and bonded to try to improve their purpose. So they had a lot of, they divided dykes, transgenders, and pure golden. They had a name for homosexuals who never had a straight relationship. They called them like gold members, never slept with another opposite sex. So they were like, they made sure, like, oh, no, I'm a proud gold member. And then when they see transgenders, they're like, you're a traitor. You don't want to just be straight. That's your problem. There was a lot of issues, and I witnessed a lot of it. My thing was, and this is what we lack as far as blacks. We don't know how to resolve our issues as far as blacks like to separate their issues as far as, that's a Grenadian issue. That's a Dominican issue, and the Dominicans don't want to actually accept the fact that they're black. Or that's a Haitian issue. That's a African issue. That's a they all do that. They don't want to say, you know, we're one same thing. What the gays did, they say, you know what? They didn't have a leader. It just they outnumbered the negatives. They said, all right, the negatives that don't feel like they want to form this union, get the F out. The ones want to say, let's be the LBGT, let's form together, and let's get this thing done. Let's roll up our sleeves, and let's start improving our society. That's why they started building their money, building their population, building their culture, enough juice to overpower the naysayers. What we lack is we're not doing the same as well. So once they became bigger,
wow.
they outnumbered the race. They just say our culture is going to be better than a certain race. And that's sad.
Sean, what do you think?
It makes sense in a lot of those issues, but yet at the same time, I think that, like you said, that there seems to be better organization among the LGBT community and a lot of other races or other gender groups. Also, the fact remains that because of the lack of respect that a lot of the LGBT community have gotten over the years, as far as getting health care issues together, getting rights for themselves, et cetera, et cetera, they felt that they needed to band together so that they can have something going forward. The transgender community, although it's been around for a very long time, it's only recently, within the last maybe 15 years, that they've started to gain traction in mainstream America as far as getting themselves out there for their rights. And I actually saw I don't know if any of you have heard of Vice. They have their own website, and they have their own actual cable channel called Viceland. And they do a lot of independent documentaries as far as things that are happening on the planet, fracking, what's going on with the digging and the oil in the ground and the consequences of the earth, et cetera, et cetera. They did a documentary that was on HBO, I think it was last week or the week before, and it was about transgender children and when they found out that they were transgender and their struggle and striving to basically become a more authentic person who they are, and the struggles that they go through, and to watch what a transgender teenager goes through or identifies themselves with, and then all of the bullying and all of the craziness that they have to go through from people that don't understand it, and maybe in a lot of instances the transgender person is trying to come to grips with understanding of themselves, what they want to do. It's some eye-opening stuff. It makes you really look and see what kind of torture they have to go through to try and be happy with themselves going forward.
Sean, that part I agree so much, but transgender, they go through a lot of stuff. That's why they have a high suicide rate. Because people don't understand that. You know, so they get bullied a lot and teased.
Well, pardon me for interrupting, but also when it comes to that, especially when it comes to the adolescents, the young people, you know, they have to deal with certain cultures. You understand, like, not every culture is welcoming to the transgenders, if you understand what I'm saying. Like, okay, say, for example, the West Indians. They don't like it. They'll look at it like funny. Oh, that's something wrong with them. And unfortunately, when a child is going through that, they don't get the support from their families. They get shut out.
But you also know where a lot of that comes from as well is that a lot of that is based on the religious teachings that a lot of the West Indian culture is found on. A lot of Christian.
That's the thing.
A lot of Episcopalian.
Right. They're Bible-thumping Christians because they feel that it is wrong. They're going to tell that child, like, oh, there's something wrong with you. Oh, what you're doing is completely wrong. And they're going to make that child feel so guilty that the child is going to grow up feeling like less of a human being. Because they know what they want. They know who they are. They're identifying themselves. Like, let's just say a boy who thinks he's a girl. Like I said earlier, yes, the bodies may be different, but you know what? Now, as I do research, the mind of it, their mindset, it's like, wow, they really want to be a woman. And it's just the same thing, like a girl who wants to become a guy.
You okay,
know, the mindset is there. Yeah.
Okay, you know, to Max, you're a father
mm-hmm.
of a daughter, a beautiful daughter. Your daughter come
mm-hmm.
up to you about this subject, or she telling you that, you know, she feel like she's a man. How you will handle or respond to that as a father?
We already had to talk about that.
Right.
Yeah, she's 13. We already had to talk about it. Well, I could,
wow.
I won't go into too many details. Yeah, I won't go into too many details.
No, no,
I can
no,
only
of course
go
not.
By. I can go by as far as I remember having that discussion at the clinic years ago. This is back in 94, 95, maybe 96. And I remember the one good thing that was said, that another black man said, is we all know is that it's all about complementing each other. Does man sleeping with men, how is that going to complement with society? It's not going to build another society. At the end of the day, if you're standing on an island and there's a group of six people and you're trying to build a next generation, how a man, single man, is going to build the next sea for you? It's not about you, whether you like yourself. Some people do it as for, and remember, we all remember back in the day, if we read history, some have the staged marriages, set up marriages, planned marriages, where the wife and the husband didn't like each other, but they did it for the sake of building a family. That was done centuries ago. Same thing,
yes.
How certain marriages still continue. I may not really find you attractive, but I'm doing it because I need a family. Certain marriages will build a love, certain marriages will build an importance, and certain marriages will build that it is needed. Those are different levels. Now people start to say, due to the popularity of this particular culture, it's falling behind. It's all about popularity.
What do you mean that by they falling behind?
As far as, let's say this. I'm going to give another example. Let's just say this. That if it wasn't popularity of this issue, most generations will still go back to what it was before. Staged marriages or purpose marriages or building or wealth marriages. Wealth marriages is Rodney is a millionaire and his father wants him to marry the other family member who also is a millionaire. Rodney has to do it. Rodney will do it. Sean is just Sean, and another family likes Sean because Sean's family has a good relationship with the other family, so they're going to get married when they get older. It's the same thing. That was the popularity of that time. It was unknown. That game was unknown.
You know what it was?
You know, hold on.
You know,
I received a tweet right now from a listener. Far as I could tell, population keeps growing, even with gay folks, tweeted.
Yeah, because of science. Science has gotten involved now because there are scientists who are gay that's going to enhance and put their causes more better.
Max, what I wanted to bring out, and I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, okay, this was what was going on years and centuries ago with arranged marriages. Like,
mm-hmm.
like, let's just say, a family knew that their son was gay. But, hey, you're going to marry this woman no matter what. And the son is like, but I'm not in love with her. I don't care. You're going to marry her. This is who we chose. You see, it depends on the classes of people, because you look at you have the upper class, you have the middle class, and you have the working class. Now, even like I brought this, like I'm going to bring this up again in terms of cultures. I don't care. You're going to get married regardless. And there are some families, even to this day, here we are in 2017, they will not accept that their child is homosexual, whether it's male or female. They're not going to accept it. and they'll do anything to hide it because, you know, what they don't want is that they don't want the shame. You understand what I'm saying? Even to this day, some families still feel that shame. Like, they just want it to go away. They're going to be in denial no matter what.
Oh, exactly. You're right. And then also, it's not that. It's the fact that they'll tell their family member, listen, we don't want that because they're telling you right now it's not going to improve the family. So whatever you
do
in a hidden closet, do in a hidden closet, which they did in the past. They're not going to bring it out in the open. So it was never unknown. It's just that it was never popular. That's the whole thing. Now, it's like saying some our friend's child is like watching something. I want to be like that girl who's now a boy. Because that person is now influenced and inspired by seeing another child doing it. So that parent said, you know what? We're going to have to do it. It's based on popularity. Most of it is based on popularity. Even from the 90s when I was there, I'm watching people be inspired when they see other people follow through that.
You know what? Well, I think that's why I'm concerned about with the young kids. You know what? If Charlene did it, Charlie could do it too. That's my concern about with teenagers and young kids. I'm not talking about adults. Adults, you're more open-minded. You can do what the hell you want. It's your life. If the teenagers, young kids who's 5 years old, you know my son is 4 years old this year. He come up to me, I want to be a girl. I'm like, boy, get it together. Calm down. You don't know nothing about that yet. You're just a kid. Live your life as a teenager, as a child first, no matter what you are. If you want to be gay, that's one thing. But to say you want to become a different body, think about that, you know.
Yeah,
because,
and the only problem
because,
is,
you know what?
Yeah.
It's real. It's real, man. It's a real serious matter.
Hey, look, another thing I'll throw at you as far as this hit, and I know you guys have all experienced it or seen it, during my time as a gay men's health clinic, there's a lot of runaway teenagers, boys and girls, will do confessions how they would be sleeping around with straight people. They'll sleep around with a girl who's with another guy, and she wasn't sure because she has a crush on this girl who pretended to be a boy, but didn't know he was a girl until they had sex. And then when the psychiatrist said, why are you sleeping with a girl that's actually straight? Oh, they like the challenge. It's all about challenge and the unknown. They like to change things. And sometimes certain people get converted into that particular stage.
Okay.
And I had girlfriends that had slept with women. I had girlfriends that slept with women. Some of them didn't know that boy was actually a girl. And once they did, they felt they got turned on because it was unknown.
All right. Well, guys, thank you so much. It seems like we're going to continue this topic another time. Max, thank you so much for your input and making the show very interesting.
Hey, you're
can't
welcome,
wait to,
guys.
Yes,
can't
thank
wait,
you.
Can't wait to do this again next time.
Oh, we must do it.
Yes.
All right, guys.
Yes,
good night.
Good night. All right, good night,
safe,
y'all.
Guys. Be safe, guys.
Good night.
Be safe, guys. Later.
You too.
All right, Sean, you have a minute? What do you need to say so I could kick you out and go make love?
Oh, Lord. Anyway,
I think in getting back to what we were talking about as far as transgender, there's a lot that probably everybody doesn't still understand. And I think that as time goes by, we get a little more research and a little more understanding. We'll probably try to figure out where a lot of this is going to go. And we're also going to find out exactly what is needed to be more tolerant when it comes to trying to understand where the transgender mind is developed, when it starts to get these cues, and also to be a little more sensitive to the situation because there's a lot of bigotry out there.
Yes. So basically, bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, no matter what you're straight, gay, bisexual, male, female, it, cousin it, Sean Black, we all need to support and love one another and take care of each other to make this world a better place. And that note, Sean Black, I'm not going to make love to you tonight. Thank you again. Thanks again, folks, to listening to another edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host with the most, the man who might become a woman by next week. I am the Hot Rod or Hot Rita.
Oh, Lord.
And I have the one, the only,
Sean Black.
And on Joni Tribi, I guess?
Because she's in a sex change right now. That's why. So she's busy.
Oh, okay.
She could, next week we'll call her Andre. As always, ladies and gentlemen, the pleasure was all
yours.
Yours.